Title for your sermon this morning is I'll Be Home for Christmas. And if your relatives are anything like the folks in that video, that's probably a scary thought, right? Sometimes going home for Christmas or being around family for Christmas or being around in-laws for Christmas sometimes brings about a lot of anxiety. Did you know that Christmas is also one of the leading season for depression, suicide, increase in alcohol-related incidents, drug-related incidents, right? The most wonderful time of the year is also the most stressful and the most anxious time of the year for many, many people. And it can happen to us. And we talk about Jesus and the birth of Christ and how important it is for us to put our focus upon that. And there is no doubt that we must, with our best intention, put our focus upon the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of the promise that God said that He would bring to us salvation through His Son. And we should never take that for granted or take it lightly. We should always put our focus on that. But you know, here's the thing about focus is that there's always a distraction. It's always a distraction to try to get you off of your focus. And no matter how hard you try to stay focused in on what you know is the right thing and what you know you must do, you have all these different things going on to the left and to the right and all around you, and they begin to steal your focus away by distracting you. And we look at this journey that Joseph and Mary made from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey, right? In the last stages of pregnancy. That doesn't sound too fun already, right? And Joseph was going home for Christmas. He was going home. He's going back to his homeland, his home territory, even though he probably never really lived there, but his ancestors were there. That's where he was registered at. So he had to go back home so he could be counted in the census. And so he was going home for Christmas. And you know, we think about that a lot of times when we think about going home for Christmas or going being around family for Christmas and getting everybody together. We think of it as being this great, wonderful, joyous time. But there's always a few, right? Come on, I'm just going to speak honestly today, all right? There's always a few that seem to get under our skin a little bit, right? There's always someone that doesn't approve of us, that maybe we haven't gotten along in years, and they always have a sarcastic comment for us. And so it makes those joyous times more anxious times, doesn't it? Really does. And so we begin to dread the times that are supposed to be the most joyous time. And we miss out on the blessings of Christmas. We miss out on the opportunities that we have to truly enjoy the time that God has given us because our focus is on the wrong thing. I just want to give you three things this morning. I wouldn't call them points. They're just thoughts that I have for you as we look at this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. There's a couple of things I see in the story of Joseph and Mary and the birth of Christ in this very beginning part of his life. There's a few things I see going on here that really relate to me. And I'm one of those guys that I know that I'm not everybody's cup of tea and not everybody's going to agree with me, but I got this feeling that I just can't be the only one. You know what I'm saying? I just can't be the only one who's ever experienced things like this. And I know we say, well, you know, you're up here saying, well, you're telling me that we actually get anxious at Christmas time when we're supposed to be talking how joyful and wonderful it is? Well, the reality is that we do. I mean, I have. Not everybody in my family's a believer. Not everybody in my family likes me that much. And that's just how it is. But here's a couple things I want you to see, all right? The first is that when Joseph and Mary came to the inn for shelter, right? They had made this long journey across the desert, coming from Nazareth into Bethlehem, tired, worn out, going into labor. about to bring forth the Savior of the world, and they go up to this inn. It's not like a motel like we know it today. It's more like a shelter, so to speak. And they go up to this inn. Now, the coming Savior of the world goes into this place of shelter, and they turn him away. They turn him away. Now, somebody possibly out of the good of their heart said, hey, we've got some room over in the stables with our animals. You're welcome to go bunk up with them if you like. Now, when I look at this, I see one thing. From the very, very beginning, Jesus was rejected by the world. Even in the very beginning stages of his life, as he was coming into the world, he was rejected by his very own people. These were his hometown people. These were his bloodline people. These were the Jewish people in which he came from. These were his own people that were rejecting him. And they didn't even know him yet. Not only that, Joseph and Mary had to feel the same way. I mean, who wouldn't make room in a shelter for a woman having a baby? But they didn't. Perhaps word had came from Nazareth over to Bethlehem. You know, gossip always travels faster than the feet can. And maybe perhaps word had come from Bethlehem, from Nazareth over to Bethlehem that, hey, that's that girl that claimed she got pregnant by God. And that's that guy, you know, he should have never married her, but, you know, he did it anyway. But it hurts to be rejected, doesn't it? It hurts when you go, especially when you go to your own people. When you go amongst your own people and they reject you. Joseph and Mary came seeking help, seeking shelter, and instead they were turned away and sent to stay with the animals. Now, I want you to know, how would you feel? How would you feel about that? Here's what I want you to know. Here's the first thing I want you to know. Just because others reject you, it does not diminish your value. Amen. Just because others reject you, it does not diminish your value. John 1:11 says, he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. Even his own people would not receive Christ. But you know what? It didn't stop him. He kept going, and guess what? You know what? The older he got, the more rejected he got. And the closer he got to the cross, the more rejection he faced. He faced rejection every single day. People, he would be preaching, and people would get up and walk out in the middle of it. Said, I can't stand to listen to the words you're saying. And they go out. That never happens anymore. People rejected him from the time he was born, even before he was born, until the time that he died. But did it ever change his value? Did it ever change the fact that he was Savior of the world? Did it ever change his lordship? Did it ever change the fact that he was King of kings and Lord of lords? It never, ever changed his value. This is what I want you to know this morning as you face those anxious moments. Maybe with people who disagree with you. Maybe they're from your own family. Maybe it's people that you care deeply about. And they reject you. They turn away. Maybe they laugh at you for going to that old church over there, that old Baptist church. Maybe they reject you because you believe in Jesus. Maybe they laugh at you or pick on you or reject you because of the way you look, your size, your color, your race. Folks, the reality is this, is that you can't stop people from rejecting you. It even happened to Jesus himself. It will happen to each of us. But here's what you need to know. No matter how much you're rejected, it does not change your value. It does not change your purpose. It does not change God's plan for your life. It does not change. The second thing I want you to know is this, is that even though you've been rejected, God makes sure that you are protected. Even though you're rejected, God makes sure that you are protected. If we look in this passage of Scripture, in verse 6 and 7, it says, So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. All right, now the new NIV, I don't think, says swaddling clothes. It just says cloths. But the swaddling clothes is important here, guys, because anybody know what swaddling clothes is? All right, if anybody ever worked in a hospital with babies, and I watched them do this to my kids, and I was always amazed at how well this works. They take their legs, and they kind of tuck them in under them, and they shove their hands down in them, and they wrap them up real tight, and they kind of tuck it in, and they give them, it's almost like a little cocoon that they put your baby in. That's what swaddling clothes are. That's what they are. And inside this little cocoon, when your baby is in there, he has the confidence and maybe the assurance, the feeling that he is still in his mother's womb. He feels protected. And so he rests. They rest and they sleep. And it doesn't matter if they're surrounded by cattle. It doesn't matter if they're laying in a bed of hay, because a baby don't know no different anyway. The baby's never seen the inn anyway, so it doesn't know. It said, man, we live in a pretty raunchy place here. Pops, you need to get a better job, something. Even though that Christ as a baby was rejected by his own people, God made sure that he was protected. He put him in the hands of the right people, and he put him in the right place where he could be protected. You need to know today that when others reject you, even though it hurts, and even though it's scary, and even though it's hard, God's got you. He's got you right where he wants. He wants you to know that he's got you wrapped up like this so you can't get away. And if you just allow him just to kind of put yourself in his arms and let him hold you in your time of need, your time of hurt, then you won't be afraid. That you'll know that you're going to be okay. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When people reject you, and when they pick on you, and when they talk about you behind your back, when they roll their eyes when you talk to them, when they whisper when you walk out of the room, when they shut up when you walk in the room, right? God said, I got you. I'm going to be your protector. Don't worry. I've got it covered. Just trust me. Just rest easy in me. See, we gotta know these things, guys, because no matter how much we may try to put our focus on Christ during the Christmas season, if we pay too much attention to rejection, we're going to be in a world of trouble. We're going to be in a world of trouble. It's going to own us. Believe me, it has owned me in my past. Somebody very close to me several years ago, went through about a 3 or 4 year depression. And every year in the holidays, it was always worse. Every year during the holiday season, from Thanksgiving through Christmas, it was always amplified. It was 10 times worse. And we would make plans to go spend some time with this family member, close family member of mine. And we would make plans with them, and we would show up at their house. We'd knock on the door. They would be inside, and they wouldn't come open the door. We would call, and they wouldn't return our call. And they wouldn't call us back for maybe a week and then act like nothing happened. And it went on like this every year for 3 or 4 years, maybe longer. And then I began to say, well, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? Why is it that they're treating me this way? And why are they rejecting me? And then I became problematic when the holidays came, because then now I was expecting this behavior with this person that I loved to continue, and so I became anxious about what they were going to do. I started becoming anxious and started messing up everybody else's holiday. This is all before Christ, by the way. Thankfully, prayerfully, my family member worked through their depression, and we don't have to go through those things anymore. At least we haven't in some time, and I'm very grateful for that. But I do know that there are many people, many, many people, that still go through this every single year. And I had no idea how to handle it. I did not know how to deal with the rejection of someone else during a time when we were supposed to be close together. I didn't know how to handle it. And I thought it was about me. But it wasn't. It was about them. It was their own unhappiness. It was their own depression. It was something that they had to work through. But it did affect me. But when I finally learned that even though it hurts and even though it was hard, God had my back. See, once I had a relationship with Jesus, then I could begin to trust Him. I didn't have to worry about what was going to come at our holiday gatherings, at our Christmas gatherings, our Thanksgiving gatherings. I didn't have to worry about what was going to happen. And amazingly, over the last 13 years, our get-togethers have transformed dramatically. They've changed. They've become a time of dread and a place of tension and struggle for so many years to something that is very joyous and enjoyable. What a great gift that has been. But I want you to know today that just because others may reject you, it doesn't change your value. And even though you have to deal with that rejection, God always has your back. He's always going to protect you. He's always going to take care of you and put you in the right place. It may not be the place that you want, but He's going to put you in a place where you'll be protected. So trust Him. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that you don't need the perfect experience to experience perfection. You don't need the perfect experience to experience perfection. You know, I imagine that when Mary became pregnant with God's Son, that she had an expectation of His birth, of His coming into the world, and where it would happen and how it would happen and who would be around them and the great celebration. And maybe she pictured that there would be parades and you know, He would be lifted up in the town hall, whatever it was back in those days, and say, "The Savior of the world is here." And boy, it didn't meet that, did it? It fell way short of any of those. I'm sure, no matter what her expectations were, I'm sure that she never expected to be in a barn with the same place that on the donkey that she rode over on having her child. I'm certain that she probably never expected that. But see, she didn't need to experience, she didn't need to have a perfect experience to experience perfection. Because in the end of the day, Christ was born. And in her hands, was all the perfection that she needed. Amen. Guys, we don't need to experience a perfect Christmas. We don't need to have a perfect experience in our Christmas season. We don't need to have the perfect gifts. We don't need to have the perfect family gatherings. We don't need to have a perfect meal or a perfect gift or a perfect in-laws. Or we don't need to keep the imperfect people out. We need to realize that perfection for our Christmas season comes when we remove the distraction and we put our eyes on the One who's perfect. We don't need a perfect experience to experience perfection. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. All right, you will keep him, not that he will keep himself, but you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. The only perfect Christmas is the Christmas spent worshiping Christ. He has a gift that Santa cannot bring, that elves cannot make, and only God himself can orchestrate. It is the wonderful gift brought forth to mankind more than 2,000 years ago. It is the gift of salvation through a rejected baby born in a dirty manger who became a man and died on a wretched cross so that you and I would not have to face rejection when he returned. If you want a perfect Christmas experience, you must get Jesus out of the stables and into your spirit. Get him out of the manger and into your mind. Get him out of the hay bales and into your heart. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." He is knocking today. He is calling from the mangers of our life, saying, "Will you make room for me in your life? Will you make room for me? Get me out of the barn and bring me into your house. Will you let me help you come home for Christmas?" It's time to come home for Christmas. Maybe you have been far away for far too long, and it's just time to come home. You don't have to be perfect, and you don't even have to be in a perfect place. You just need to seek a perfect person in Christ. Wherever you're at today in your walk with Christ, I urge you, I implore you to keep focused on him through the season, but make sure you become aware of the distractions. Well, it's easy to get focused on what we don't have, the one or two people that we won't get to see this year, the one or two people that don't like us. And we get so focused on what we don't have, we miss out on what we do have. What we've already been given. God gave us Christ, and that is enough. But not only that, he gave us so much more. I encourage you today, if you've never got Jesus out of the barn of your life, you need to make some room, invite him in. He knocks at the door. He says, "Look, I want to come in. Will you let me in? Will you let me in, or are you going to turn me away one more time?" This isn't about religion. This is about you and Christ. He invites you today. It's time to come home. Come home for Christmas. Let me in. Let me into your heart. And you won't regret it. Let's pray together. Father, today we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, what a great privilege we have to sing, to celebrate. God, to rejoice in the hope that we have in your son, the promise that we have in our salvation. And what a great time for us to remember that wonderful day that happened so long ago when you brought your son into this world to save all of mankind. Lord, we thank you. But God, we ask you today to help us to overcome the distractions, the things that try to get in the way and steal our focus away from you through the Christmas season. Lord, may our focus not be on gifts or rejection. God, of the things that we don't have, may our focus be on what we do have, the very things that you've given us to enjoy this year. We love you. God, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody stand together.